Hello everyone and welcome back. My name is Avi Heller and we are learning together the Tractate of Megillah. This series of recordings is a project of the Orthodox Union's Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We find ourselves on Daf Zayin Amud Bet 7b. Towards the bottom of the page, first wide line, we are starting a new Mishnah. Now in our previous Mishnah, we started a series of similar Mishnayot that all have a similar structure, and this was helpful for memorizing Mishnayot. So we had said in our previous Mishnah, Ein bein adar harishon la'adar hasheni ela kriyat ha-megillah u'matanot le'avyonim. The only difference between the first adar and the second adar is that in the second adar, you read the Megillah and you give Matanos Levionim, which you don't do in the first Adar. And then we discussed that whole question. So since we did that, we now are going to talk about other things that are very similar but have specific differences. They don't have anything to do with Purim or Megillah, but they are here in our tractate anyway. So the Mishnah says as follows. Ein bein Yom Tov l'Shabbat. There is no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbat, Ella, except for Ochel Nefesh Bilvad, except for food preparation only. So let's describe the terms here in two ways. First of all, we're only going to be talking here about what you are and aren't allowed to do on Shabbat and Yom Tov. It's not a global description of what are the similarities and differences, and both Rashi and Tosfot point that out. So we know that on Shabbat there are 39 categories of labor that you're not allowed to do, and basically all of those labor are those categories of labor are not allowed to be done on Yontif either, with the exception of a subcategory of things that are called Ochel Nefesh. And Ochel Nefesh comes from a verse. It's a verse in Shemot chapter 12, verse 16. So Perek Yud Bet Pasuk Tet Zayin. And there it's discussing the holiday of Pesach. And it says, Uvayom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh, on the first day will be a festival day. Uvayom HaShvi, and on the seventh day will be a festival day for you. Kol Melacha Lo Yaseh Bahem. All Melacha, labor, you shall not do on them. So that's why none of the things, all the things that you can't do on Shabbat, you can't do on Yom Tov. But then the Torah says, Ach, except Asher Yeachel L'chol Nefesh, that which will be eaten for every soul, Hu Levado, that alone, Yeaseh Lachem, shall be done for you. So the Torah clearly articulates a distinction between Yom Tov and Shabbat for things that are Yeachel L'chol Nefesh, which we call Ochel Nefesh, and those basically factor into three main melachot, which one is cooking, and one is transferring a flame, and one is carrying, because all three of those were related to preparing food and bringing the food out to share with your friends, family members, and neighbors. Okay, so though, according to the Mishnah, that is the main difference between Shabbat and Yom Tov. The Gemara asks a question. Second wide line. Ha le'inyen machshirei ochel nefesh zevzeh shavin. So what you're saying, if that's the only difference between Shabbat and Yom Tov, then as far as preparatory items for Ochel Nefesh, you cannot do them on Shabbat and Yom Tov. So we know that on Yom Tov you're allowed to do certain things for the sake of Ochel Nefesh, but what about things that are to get ready in order to do those things for Ochel Nefesh? Are those things allowed? So the Gemara assumes not. So Matnitin Deloka Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda, D'tanya, as we learned in a Braita. Ein bein Yom Tov l'Shabbat ela Ochel Nefesh. There is no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbat except for these categories of food preparation. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama, which matches our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda matir, but Rabbi Yehuda permits, and he means on Yontif, af machshirei Ochel Nefesh, even actions which might ordinarily be forbidden but are necessary as preparatory actions to do Ochel Nefesh. So this might be something like sharpening a knife or fixing a knife so that you can prepare Ochel Nefesh. Okay. My taima, that is the abbreviation memtet. What is the reason? De Tanakama. That abbreviation, Taf Kuf, is Tanakama, which means the first anonymous opinion, which matches our Mishnah. So why does our Mishnah think only Ochel Nefesh is permitted in Yom Tov, but not items to get ready for Ochel Nefesh, not Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. Amar Kra, it comes from the verse that we learn. When it says in the verse, Ach Asher Yeachel Ochel Nefesh, only that which will be eaten for every soul, Hu levado yaseh lechem. It alone will be done for them. So the Gemara learns, hu, it, v'lo machshirav, but not its preparatory actions. Now I'm a little confused. I have a question that I haven't answered. I don't know why the Gemara doesn't learn it from this extra word, levado. It alone can be done. It learns it instead from who, which is a somewhat ambiguous phrase, but when you have the extra word levado, it certainly seems stronger. In any case, so it is only those actions and not actions that are preparatory to those actions. Rabbi Yehuda, we skip the word in parentheses. He reads in the verse, lachem, it says, hu levado yaseh lachem, it alone shall be done for you. Lachem, l'chol tzorcheichem, whatever you need. If you can't do the ochel nefesh without doing the preparatory acts, then you can do the preparatory acts. Okay, now we're going to flip it. Why doesn't this is how the Gemara always does it. We now understand that the Tanakhama focuses on the word hu, and Rabbi Yehuda focuses on the word lachem. But why don't they care about the other one's words? So v'idach, the other one, nami hakativ lachem, it also wrote lachem. Why doesn't he learn it from lachem that you can do L'chol tzarcheichem? Because he learns it differently. He learns, lachem, for you may do ochel nefesh actions on Yom Tov. V'lo lo'ov de'kochavim, you can do it for yourself, for Jews, but you cannot do it for non-Jews. For non-Jews, you're not allowed to do even ochel nefesh. Lachem v'lo l'klavim, you can do it for the human members of your family, but you cannot do it for your pets or your other animals. Okay, so he has a different way of learning lachem, which isn't saying for all of your needs, but for your needs as opposed to other needs. V'idach nami hakativ hu, but Rabbi Yehuda also has the word hu, which the Tanakhama learns, which means that you can do ochel nefesh actions, but not preparatory actions. How's he going to learn that? Hu k'tiv, it's written hu, right? So he writes, hold on a second. V'idach nami ha ketiv hu uchetiv lachem. It's written hu, and it's written for you. Okay, so we have two different categories, hu and lachem. Kan b'machshirin she'ef shayla sotan me'erev yom tov. Here, when we say you're not allowed to do preparatory actions, that refers to preparatory actions that you coulda, shoulda, woulda done before yontif. If you should have and could have done them before yontif, you're not allowed to do them on yom tov. Kan, but lachem is machshirin she'ef shayla sotan me'erev yom tov. Actions that are preparatory to preparing ochel nefesh that you couldn't have done before Yom Tov. And since you can't do the ochel nefesh without the preparatory actions, you can do those preparatory actions on Yom Tov. So he modifies a little bit and says there are some preparations that the Tanakhama would allow, but only those that could not be done before Yom Tov. Okay, done. That was a very quick Mishnah, very quick Gemara. Done. We go to the next Mishnah, which follows the same structure. Ein bin Shabbat liyom kippurim. There's no difference between Shabbat and Yom Kippur. Ela shezeh zdono bidei adam, except that if you violate Shabbat on purpose, willingly, in front of witnesses, knowing that what you're doing is chilul Shabbat, you are punished by a beit din, which is a human court. V'zeh zdono bikaret, but for Yom Kippur, if you violate it willingly in front of witnesses, knowing that what you're doing is wrong, then you are punished by a heavenly court. You're given the punishment of karet, of being spiritually excised, whatever that means. But it is not done by a human court, it's done by the heavenly court. So the Gemara similarly asks the same question. If you're saying that's the only difference between Shabbat and Yom Kippur, ha le'inyin tashlumin zeh v'zeh shavin, so you're telling me that regarding monetary payments, they are the same. Now, we have to understand what this means, monetary payments. So the Gemara is going to explain to us what the case is, and we'll just move forward and understand the case, and then we'll try and see if it's the same for Yom Kippur and Shabbat. Mani, who is this going according to? Matnitin, our Mishnah, Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakanehi. It goes according to this guy, Rabbi Nechunya. Ditanya, as we learn in a Braita, Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakanehi haya ose et Yom HaKippurim kishabbat. Rabbi Nechunya used to make Yom Kippurim just like Shabbat, litashlumin, regarding monetary payments. How does this work? Ma Shabbat mitchayev b'nafsho upatur min atashlumin. Just like on Shabbat, you are liable for violating Shabbat and you're liable to the death penalty at the hands of the Beit Din, but you are patur min atashlumin, but you are you are exempted from monetary payment. Af Yom HaKippurim, so too on Yom Kippur, mitchayev benafsho, you are liable to the punishment of karet by the heavenly court. Upatur min hatashlumim, but you do not have to make monetary payment. What we're talking about here is where someone does an action which would cause both kinds of punishment. Rashi gives us the example where you light your friend's haystack on fire on Yom Kippur. So you first of all lit a fire on Yom Kippur. So that is not allowed according to the laws of Yom Kippur. So you're liable for violating Yom Kippur, and the heavenly court can give you karet. But you also destroyed your friend's property because it's his haystack and not yours, and therefore you should have to pay him for it. So you have in front of you a double whammy. So what should happen? So according to Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakaneh, because you are liable for the death penalty for breaking Yom Kippur, because you're liable for karet, you are absolved of the need for payment. So unfortunately, your poor neighbor doesn't get his money, but because you are liable for a much more serious punishment, you only get one of the punishments, not both. And the question is that true on Shabbat too? So if you light your friend's haystack on fire on Shabbat, do you have to suffer the consequences in a human beit din and pay the monetary, it's not a fine, but the recompense, or are you just liable for the punishment from the beit din for violating Shabbat? Okay, Tanan Hatam, so we learn, so Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakaneh says it's the same, that both in the case of Shabbat and Yom Kippur, you don't have to pay the money. Tanan Hatam, we learned in a Mishnah there, Kol Chayavei Kritot, anytime you do a violation of the Torah that results in karet, in spiritual excision, you're supposed to get, that's supposed to be your punishment. You get karet by the heavenly court. But what happens if the human court jumped the shark here? Shelaku, and they gave you lashes. They whipped you as your punishment. You were supposed to get karet, but instead they whipped you. Niftaru midei kritatan. So they say, well, that's it. You got your punishment. Even though your punishment was supposed to be more severe, because the beit din went ahead and whipped you, you suffice with that punishment. And in fact, even though we're not the ones that levy the punishment, we say that Hashem doesn't give you karet because you suffered some punishment for what you did. And you basically, the principle here is you only get one punishment of the two. So it ought to be the more severe of them, but if you jump forward and you give the less severe, that suffices. Shen Nemar, and they base it on the reading of a particular verse, as it says, V'nikla achicha le'enecha. This pasuk comes from Devarim, chapter 25, verse 3, Perek Chafei Pasuk Yimol, and it's talking about how you're only supposed to give someone 40 lashes. Actually, we only give them 39 maximum, because if you give them too many lashes, you will disgrace your brother in front of you. By giving someone too many lashes, it takes away their dignity too much. So you're not allowed to do it. Now, the Gemara is going to read this quite differently. Kevan shelaka, once he is whipped, hari hu kachicha, then he becomes like your brother. So rather than reading, we don't give him too many lashes because it will disgrace your brother, we say, v'nikla, when he gets whipped, achicha, he becomes your brother again. So when he is a sinner who is in need of punishment, on some level, he's like not your brother, he is a sinner. And then when he receives his atonement, he becomes your brother again. So we don't really mean that every sinner is not Jewish or he's not your brother. It just means that you have to treat him in a way that's not brotherly until he achieves atonement. That's Divrei Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. That's according to Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. If the court whips you, then your karet is removed. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan says, Chalukin alav chaverav, Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. All of Rabbi Hananya's friends, all the other rabbis in the Beit Midrash, they disagreed with him. He was a lone voice in the wilderness. All the other rabbis felt that even though he got whipped, he still gets the punishment of karet because that's the real punishment. Amar Rava, I am now 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom at the very end of the line. Amar Rava, Amar Bey Rav, he says in the name of the Academy of Rav. Tanina, wait a minute. We learned this already. Tanina is always a question of saying, you're making a claim, but it's a claim that we know already, therefore it doesn't need to be made. Because it says in the Mishnah, Ein ben Yom HaKippurim l'Shabbat. There's no difference between Yom Kippur and Shabbat. Ela shezdez dono bidei adam. This one, the violation is prosecuted by the earthly court. Vizez dono behi karet, and this one is prosecuted by the heavenly court for karet. Ve'im ita, and if it's like you, if it's what you said, in other words, that if the heavenly, if the earthly court gives him lashes, then he becomes free of karet. What you're telling me is that a person that violates Yom Kippur can get lashed by the court, and that is his atonement. In other words, it is possible for the earthly court to levy the punishment. So it seems to go against our Mishnah, which says that the earthly court cannot levy the punishment. Amar Rabbi Nachman, Hamani, you're right, that's true, but this is only one opinion. Whose opinion is this? Rabbi Yitzchaki, it's Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion, three lines up from the bottom. De Amar Malkot Bechayave Kritut Leika. Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion is that when you sin for when you do a sin that is that you're liable for spiritual excision for karet, that there is no such thing as lashes. You're not supposed to get lashes. Ditanya, as we learn in a Braita, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Chayave Kritot, anyone who is liable for spiritual excision, Bichlal. That is a general principle, and it's a principle that is explained in Vayikra chapter 20, verse 17, Perek Chaf Pasuk Yud Zayin, where it says that all of, here it's talking about all the sexual indiscretions. Let me just look up the verse here. It's talking about all the sexual indiscretions, and it says that that they are liable, that you're liable when you do them for karet, for spiritual excision. Okay, v'lama yatsata karet ba'achoto, but then in one particular case, sleeping incest, if it talks about a man who sleeps with his sister, it says that he is liable for karet. I'm sorry, all the other krito, that he is liable for karet, it specifically says it. So what we have in Vayikra, I'm sorry if I was unclear there, what we have in Vayikra is a general principle that all these sexual indiscretions are punished with karet, but then the Torah specifies in only one specific example of incest that you get karet. So we want to know, why does it single out that one case? So the answer the Gemara gives is, I'm two lines up from the bottom, four lines from the end of the line. Laduna bikaret velo bimalkut is to teach you that you are supposed to prosecute it, that the way you're supposed to be judged is by spiritual excision and not with malkut, not with lashes. However, if you do get lashes, then you've gotten your punishment. That's the way it is. So you're not supposed to get malkut, but if you do, it will suffice. Ravashi says afilu tema rabbanan. Even you're saying that's only according to Rabbi Yitzchak, but I'll tell you that it can go even according to the Rabbanan, who say that there is such a thing as lashes. Ze ikars dono bidei adam. This one is the ideal way to do it is to be, if you violate Shabbat, is to be punished by the earthly court. Ze ikars dono bihi karet. And this one, the essential way to do it is by getting spiritual excision. So there is a right way to do it. It's a, like a lechatchila way to do it, but there's also a bidiavad way to do it. And if you do it the bidiavad way, it still suffices. We're at the very bottom of the daf. We've now finished daf zayin, and we will continue with daf chet in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.